read the same verses we read this morning, Mark chapter 6, verse 51, and also Matthew 14, verse 33. Mark 6, verse 51, "And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered." Matthew 14, verse 33. "And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Again, these verses are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's account of the same event. All four gospel writers recorded. What we just read is Matthew and Mark's account. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were inspired of the Holy Spirit from their own perspective. That is, what I mean by that is they wrote from their own perspective, inspired of the Lord, as events, wrote of events that occurred. And just as when there are eyewitness accounts of the same event, accounts may differ slightly. One person may see something that another didn't, and so on. And so it is with the gospel accounts. The details that one may leave out, another records. And we have that here in the gospel accounts, which of course leads us, gives us a more accurate account. In our text verses, Mark records that when Jesus entered the storm-tossed ship of the apostles, they were sore amazed in themselves. And this was beyond measure. And they wondered, or they were filled with wonder. They were struck with amazement. They were filled with admiration and love and awe and fascination. Matthew leaves that part out. He doesn't say anything about them being filled with wonder. But he adds something that Mark left out. He says, "They that were in the ship came." That is, they drew near to Christ in that ship. And they worshiped him. So you put these two together, and we have a more accurate picture of what actually happened. And what happened is that they were filled with wonder and they worshiped as a result of that wonder. And again, wonder and worship are linked together. So much so that I don't believe you can have worship without this wonder. Wonder in regard to the Lord will lead to worship. And worship involves wonder. Now, in the Word of God, there are two categories of true worship that's addressed. There is a spontaneous, everyday worship, and the Bible also speaks of congregational worship. Worship. And all through the Word of God, there is a call to worship God. It's why we're here. It's why we're here, to worship the Lord, to bring honor and glory to Him. In Psalm 29 and verse 2, we read, "Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." So again, it matters how we worship. We're to worship in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 45, verse 11, "Worship thou him." Psalm 96, verse 9, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. In Psalm 99 and verse 5, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Speaking of our position in worship. Worship at his footstool, for he, the reason we are to take our place at his footstool, for he is holy. In Psalm 99 and verse 9, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. Now every call to worship in the Word of God, I believe, has reference to spontaneous everyday worship, as reference, of course, to congregational worship as well. And the two are related. Everyday worship is related to congregational worship. And both forms of worship, there is to be a wonder in regards to the object of worship, the Lord. And that worship is to involve wonder. In this message, we want to address mainly spontaneous everyday worship. And we want to speak upon living in the wonder. Living in the wonder. That's the only way that you and I will worship God every day. Is every day to be filled with the wonder of the Lord. But there is a danger. In our text in Mark chapter 6, following our text, notice verse 52. Notice Mark 6, verse 52. Talking about the apostles. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now, what we read for our text records the incident that took place in the boat of the apostles, in which they again worshiped Christ, filled with wonder. But that was preceded by the miraculous feeding of over 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. And what we read in verse 52 are truly sad words. And they present a danger that we're all subject to and that we've all been guilty of at one time or another. When Jesus worked that miracle in their presence, they did not give proper attention to it. They failed to see the wonder of this act. And that's what he's referring to here. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. And then he states the reason. For their heart was hardened. In other words, they witnessed well over 5,000 people fed miraculously. Yet that did not fill them with wonder. The reason, because their heart was hardened. You remember just prior to that, they came to Jesus because John the Baptist had been murdered. There's a lot of things that go into leading up to this event. But their heart was hardened. What that means is there was a dullness about them. And as a result of that dullness, they did not give proper attention to the miracle. And they were not overcome with wonder. And there is no record in Matthew's account, Mark's account, Luke's account, John's account, following that miracle or any time during the miracle, that the apostles worshiped. Only here, they've now gotten out. The miracle has taken place. They're out on the sea. A storm has occurred. They've been out there all night. Jesus appears. We know the story. He appears. He says, "It is I. Be not afraid." They thought it was a ghost. Peter said, "If it be thee, bid me to come." And we know Peter walked on water with Christ. Began to sink. The Lord lifted him up. And they too walked back in the boat. And the storm ceased. And the apostles were filled with wonder. A wonder that they did not possess just hours before. And they worshiped. But there they are in the midst of that miracle, the feeding of over 5,000. And they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Have we not all been guilty of the same? At some time, we've all been guilty. Have we not all gone through a day without giving due attention to the work of the Lord, to the Lord Himself? Have we not all entered the congregation of the Lord without giving due attention to the Lord? Have we not all sat under the preaching of the Word of God and not given due attention and not be filled with wonder? Have we not all been void of this amazement that leads to worship, this admiration, this awe, this fascination? Have we not all failed to worship because we did not have the wonder? We're all guilty. Not all the time, but we're all guilty. And there isn't anyone here that can say, "Yeah, I was guilty of that once." No, we've been guilty many times. Every one of us. We have failed to be filled with wonder, to be struck by the wonder of God, and as a result, we fail to worship. Most of us have been going to church for a long time. But how many times have we truly worshiped God? How many times have we been struck with wonder? That shouldn't be a rare thing. That should be a common occurrence, that we're struck with wonder and that we worship. How sad when you and I are not struck by the wonder of God. Again, consider a little child. Their life is filled with wonder. They smile, they laugh. Their life's filled with wonder. Many adults will say, "Well, they don't know any better." That may be true to an extent, but how sad that we lose our wonder. And it's this sense of wonder in a child that causes them to see things that escape the rest of us. That's also true spiritually. A child, again, as we said this morning, can squat and stare at a flower or a bug for a long time. And they can do so with great interest. It interests them. And they're captivated by it. That's the same kind of wonder that we need in worship. a wonder that captures our interest. It's truly sad that we live in a day where churches spend a lot of money and go through a lot of effort to keep people's interest, when the truth is, the only thing that's going to keep their interest as far as spiritual worship is concerned is a spiritual wonder. We ought to be filled with wonder when God's word is preached. We shouldn't need a bunch of extras. A wonder that causes us to be captivated by the Lord. A wonder that causes us to be captivated by the matters of the Lord. So this wonder that we're talking about is not just a passing emotion. It just comes and goes. It's not some kind of shallow excitement. It has a depth to it. A depth that reaches our entire being. So we must inquire, why are God's people, the saved by grace, why are they so easily distracted in church services? Let's be honest. There are people who are captivated by television more than they are the Word of God. Captivated by the internet more than they are the Word of God. They have more of a wonder in those things than God's Word, than meeting with God's people. Why is that? I mean, no one can, that's been around any time, can deny that that's not so. That people have more wonder for, I mean, the list is long. It can't be denied. But why? Why is that? Well, why did the apostles fail to consider the miracle of the loaves? Because their heart was hardened. And because of that, they lose their wonder. And then you lose your worship. Their heart was hardened. And I don't know if this is true, but it's something to think about. I read that tests show that a child's creativity, I have no reason to doubt this, which would include wonder, diminishes by 90% between the ages of 5 and 7. I don't have any reason to refute that. By 90% between the ages of 5 and 7. And when an adult gets to about 40, they have about 2% of the creativity they had when they were 5 years old. And again, creativity and wonder go together. Let's say that's so. And again, I have no reason to believe it's not. We not only lose our wonder mentally, we lose our wonder spiritually also. And that's sad. Think of a newborn child of God. The wonder that fills their soul. But is it not so that in most cases, after a while, they seem to lose their wonder? Perhaps this is one of the things that Jesus had in mind. Notice in Matthew chapter 18, certainly not the only thing, but certainly it could have been one of the things he had in mind. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 3. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" How sad. that they would argue about such foolishness. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him, that child, in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I believe the main thing Jesus is focusing upon is the trust of a little child. But that doesn't have to be all. He could also be considering the wonder of that child. We need to keep that wonder. Spiritual wonder, spiritual amazement, spiritual fascination is very rare amongst those who profess salvation. People have more wonder in going places rather than the house of God. No one can deny that. Not everybody's guilty. But no one can deny that that's not so. People have more wonder for the things of the world than they do the things of God. They get more wonder at watching their children play soccer or baseball or whatever, or their grandchildren, than coming to the house of God. That can't be denied. It's all around us. People have lost their wonder. And then churches get the idea, well, we have to restore the wonder. You can't create this wonder. This is something that's within us. We have to have a relationship with God. And if we have a relationship with God, there's a wonder. There's a wonder. You rarely find spiritual wonder in the modern day so-called worship service. It's a rare thing. People know about God. But you can know about God and not be struck with wonder. People sing. But you can sing and you can sing beautiful songs. You can have a beautiful voice. Be very talented. And still not be struck with wonder. Preacher can preach. And as he's preaching, he may not be struck with wonder. He ought to be. Those that hear ought to be. So it's very rare. And again, as we said this morning, we live in the technology age. As a result, we have access to and can see just about anything. And we can see many things that fill us with wonder. So, we see so many wonderful things that there's little wonder left when it comes to the Lord. There are many wonders, but little wonder. And so it is spiritually. Many children of God have lost their spiritual wonder. And we've all experienced it. We've all been guilty. But when we lose our spiritual wonder, what you need to realize is you've also lost your ability to truly worship God. It's gone. We have a desperate need of a restoration of spiritual wonder toward God. We ought to plead with God. Lord, give me a wonder. Fill me with a wonder of who you are. We have desperate need of a restoration of wonder toward his word. And we ought to pray for such, toward his doings, toward his day, toward his people. We need to pray. for restoration of wonder. The psalmist declared in Psalm 119, verse 161, "My heart standeth in awe of thy word." That's wonder. My heart standeth in awe of thy word. There was wonder, there was amazement, there was awe, there was fascination in his heart for the word of God. It is this lack of spiritual wonder that has led to such a shallowness in Bible study and preaching. You listen to most preaching today, it's kindergarten stuff. It's shallow. And people want it that way. Not everybody, but many. Because they've lost their wonder, they're satisfied with a shallowness. Most are not interested. Most who profess to be saved are not interested in spiritual depth. They're not interested. They've lost their wonder. And consequently, the worship almost is non-existent. So it is this lack of spiritual wonder that results in formality, in a form of godliness. We don't want to be considered as backslidden. Most of our churches are on the smaller side, and if you're not there, it's noticed. You go in a church with several thousand, and I believe that's one of the reasons people like to go to those churches, is they can get lost in the crowd. No one really knows if they're there or they're not. They like that. But we lose our spiritual wonder, and we don't want anyone to think, well, they're just not spiritual, so we just keep on coming. But now it's just formality. That's all it is. It's formality. The wonder's gone. And people will come up with things, well, I'm not being fed. You're not coming hungry either. Stomach's jammed full with the stuff of the world. So it's this lack of spiritual wonder that results in formality in a form of godliness. It's this lack of spiritual wonder that is satisfied with religious platitudes rather than a deep and abounding relationship with God. I don't want to live that way. You don't want to live that way. It's this lack of spiritual wonder that leads churches to make adjustments to singing. People aren't interested in the old songs, so we've got to come up with new. You're dealing with people that have lost their spiritual wonder. You're trying to appease people that have lost their spiritual wonder. That's a serious, serious mistake. So song services are adjusted. Preaching is adjusted. People can't sit for more than 20 minutes, so you cut it off. And they need at least three jokes in there, and a couple illustrations, and a couple poems, and a couple stories, and maybe you can read one verse. That's what people like. Because there's no spiritual wonder. No spiritual wonder. So, oh, how sad it is, because when there's a lack of spiritual wonder, that's what results in carnality in worship. That's what brings worship down to entertainment. And may I say, a church can never compete with the entertainment world in the entertainment field. You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. You can't compete. They're better at it. When the spiritual wonder is restored, worship is restored. How do we restore worship services? The wonder has to be restored. God has to give us that spiritual wonder. Hard hearts need to be softened. So it's truly sad when spiritual wonder is gone. When there is spiritual wonder, there's excitement. There's excitement. Anytime I come to the house of God and am not excited to do so, I am not right with God. That's true of all of us. Because that wonder ought to give us excitement. Again, a little child. I watched Elijah this afternoon pick up a leaf and just laugh and just have a good time picking up a leaf. The wonder. Excited about a leaf. And God's people can't get excited about God. When there's spiritual wonder, there's thanksgiving. There's praise. I don't have to work these things up. When the wonder is there, the thanksgiving is there. And the praise is there. It's sad when the things of God become so routine and so natural that they cease to be extraordinary. And the things of God are always extraordinary. They cease to be awesome. They cease to be incredible. Paul, one of the greatest servants of God that ever lived, and the reason he did not cease to be enthralled by God. He did not cease to be fascinated by God. It seems like he was always bubbling over with enthusiasm and joy and thanksgiving and praise because the wonder was there. They considered not the miracle of the loaves because their hearts were hardened. Let's face it. You go and you work in the world, you live in the world. This world has a hardening effect upon our hearts. And we have to realize that. So that when there's this wonder, the person of God, our interest in the person of God and the things of God is refreshed. It's revived. We're inspired. But when we lose our wonder, we lose our ability to worship the Lord. So I believe we need to pray every day that we would not lose our spiritual wonder. And if we have, we need to pray that it would be restored. Again, these two, wonder and worship, are linked together. Wonder in regard to God will lead to worship of God, and all true worship involves wonder. And we are to worship God every day. Not just on Sundays. Not just on Wednesdays. We're to worship God every day. That means that we have to live in the wonder every single day. So consider spontaneous, everyday worship. Our very existence ought to be to worship God. That's true every single day. That's true congregationally as well. Worship God every day. Ongoing spiritual worship. ongoing spiritual wonder. The reason that congregational worship is nearly extinct is because everyday worship is nearly extinct. You can't not worship God Monday through Saturday and stumble into the house of God on Sunday and worship. Can't be done. It's not possible. All week long, we're to be preparing for this day. And the best way to prepare is to worship the Lord. Everyday worship is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle regardless of circumstance, place, or time. Our relationship to the Lord ought to be so deep that we can stop in the midst of anything that's going on and bow our hearts to God in worship. That should be our relationship with the Lord. We see it all through the Old Testament. It's also in the New, but more so in the Old. We see people time and time again in the midst of everyday circumstances building an altar. They're worshiping. Bringing sacrifice unto the Lord. Bringing an offering unto the Lord. It's living with a vivid realization of who God is every single day. Living experiencing who God is every single day. Living conscious of God every single day in all circumstances. And that will cause us to draw near to Him. It'll cause our heart to be united to Him. And that fills us with wonder. And the more wonder we have, the more ready we are to bow and worship the Lord. Again, we lose our wonder. We come into the house of God many times. We're all guilty. I preach this to myself as much as anyone else. We're all guilty. We talk about worldly things leading right up to the church service. And I'm sorry, but I don't buy it. I know it's not so with me. You don't just turn that off as soon as the piano starts playing. You've already filled your mind with the world. The wonder's gone. Oh, there ought to be such an awe when we enter into the house of God. God has allowed me to come into His house. That ought to fill us with wonder. It ought to cause us to bow right there and worship the Lord. But again, wonder's a rare thing today. What a wonderful life it is when we can stop whatever's going on. We can just stop and praise God and worship God. That takes wonder. That takes a relationship with the Lord. Doesn't matter. It can be a time of distress, difficulty, whatever. We ought to have such a wonder that we can just stop and worship the Lord. Where we can just stop and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. I'll be honest. I can't always rejoice in my circumstances. And I doubt that you can either. We are. We're supposed to. To rejoice in all things. But I do believe that even though I may not be able to rejoice in a specific circumstance, I ought to be able to stop and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for putting me in one of your churches. On and on we can go. All the wonder. We must not lose our wonder. People talk all the time, church services seem so dead, So what do? They try to liven them up. But what are they doing? They're stirring up the flesh. That's not enhancing worship. No, the services might be more lively, but it's not the kind of life you want. All we need to liven up the services in a way that honors God is to be filled with wonder. To just be fascinated with who God is and what God has done in our lives. Again, none of us know how much time we have left. But I don't want to spend my remaining days satisfied with a form. I want that wonder. Wonder. Wonder of God. To open God's word. You know, a preacher may preach from the same verse 1,000 times, or you may have heard it 1,000 times. But what a wonder, you turn to it and it still says the same thing. It's still true. That ought to fill us with wonder. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing me that truth. Every time we open God's word, there ought to be a wonder. I don't believe we should just read God's word. We ought to read it and worship Him. And worship the Lord. God help us. I'm guilty. Many times I've lost that wonder. But oh, that God would restore the wonder. Guilty many times of coming into the house of God, just go singing, praying, without any wonder and without any worship. I pray that we would worship God every day and that we would come to God's house every time we come, ready to worship the Lord. And there's so many things that can distract us from worship. The devil has many tactics. Someone can come up to you. They may not mean anything by it, but say something that just irks you and it'll bother you the whole service. You haven't worshiped. Or we can get to looking around. This is something I struggle with. Now, who's not here? Why aren't they here? Why don't they care more? What's wrong with them? And you can get dwelling on that stuff. And you can almost sit in the house of God half mad, failing to worship. So God help us that we do not lose our wonder. And as soon as we feel that wonder leaving us, we need to pray, oh God, restore the wonder so that I can worship. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us the first song.